So thank you very much, Lynn, and thank you to Lenny for organizing this session and inviting me. I was asked to talk about the nutritional quality of fast food, so I'm going to be talking about a study that I conducted with the colleagues listed here, a few from the National Cancer Institute, and also Poonam and Jennifer, who are also here at this conference. I have no relationships to disclose. This might be obvious to this audience, but why focus on fast food as opposed to other kind of food environments? Well, we know it represents a significant proportion of the food that we all, maybe not all of us, but many of us eat away from home and of our total caloric intake. A recent paper by Lisa Powell and colleagues found that 10% of the calories consumed by 2 to 11-year-olds, 17% of the calories consumed by 12 to 19-year-olds, and 13% of the calories consumed by adults 20 to 65-year-olds came from fast food. So that's a significant proportion of our energy intake. We also know that consumption of fast food has deleterious effects. It's inversely associated with diet quality, and it's positively associated with some negative health outcomes like increased body weight and poor metabolic outcomes. As well, it might be in our society differentially accessible to different communities. So in some communities, there is evidence that fast food is more accessible in low-income and communities of color compared to higher-income or predominantly white communities, and that does have the potential to either create or exacerbate health disparities. So sometimes when I tell people about this research, they ask the question, really, you needed to do a study to tell us that fast food might not be so healthy? So to try to preempt that kind of so what, I wanted to tell you about why we might be interested in assessing the nutritional quality of fast food. So we do have a sense that maybe it's not the healthiest choice altogether, but to what degree, to what extent is fast food, as we think about fast food, unhealthy? Also, we're interested in particular aspects of fast food, or of nutrition. So what areas like fruits and vegetables, saturated fat, sodium, that kind of thing, what areas should be targeted for improvement? We also are interested in whether some restaurants do better than others or whether subsets of menu items such as dollar menus or kids' menus do better or worse than other types of menus, and also whether the nutritional quality of fast food menus is changing over time. So it's only really by documenting these types of issues that we can tell whether there are improvements happening. So the objective of the study that I'll be describing was to assess the quality of the offerings of five popular fast food chains in relation to dietary guidance. We assessed not only full menus, but also dollar value menus, kids' menus, and items that were identified as healthy or nutritious. We assessed quality of the menus using the Healthy Eating Index 2005, which is meant to assess adherence to the 2005 Dietary Guidelines for Americans. It assesses the overall quality of a diet or of a mix of foods. It's density-based, and so that's where we get the focus on quality. It looks at how many fruits and vegetables, for example, per 1,000 calories. Just to give you a little bit more background on the Healthy Eating Index, it's made up of 12 components. 9 in the blue here are adequacy components, and those are things that we want to generally encourage people to eat. And the 3 in the orange color are moderation components, things that we want to decline or to discourage. Just to give you a few hints about acronyms here, along the bottom we have fruits and vegetables, and that DGOL, the fourth bar over, is dark green and orange legumes. And then the last bar that you see, calories from sofas, is what now is more commonly called empty calories, and that's solid fats, alcohol, and added sugars, that's sofas. So altogether, the sum of these different components totals 100. So 100 points would be the optimal diet, and so you'd want a score to be closer to 100. So again, we use the Healthy Eating Index, and we applied this to the menu of the top 5 quick-serve restaurant chains based on U.S. sales in 2008 and 2009. And these were McDonald's, Subway, Burger King, Wendy's, and Taco Bell. Subway also actually makes it into the top, but we didn't focus on Starbucks since they don't have a full menu. The data that we used came from the Red Center. It was collected as part of their work on fast food. So in applying the HEI to assess menu offerings, we had to follow 3 steps here. So the first at the top was to enumerate and quantify the foods and beverages offered. So this means looking at the menus of each establishment, trying to figure out how many unique items they have. We included all offerings, all sizes, all varieties and flavors. We then take that list of all items and link them to databases, a food group database and a nutrient database, because the Healthy Eating Index focuses on both food groups and a couple nutrients. There you see on the right, sodium and saturated fats. Then an HEI algorithm is applied. So this is where we pull in standards based on the dietary guidelines for Americans, again, to look at things like, are there enough fruits per 1,000 calories, how much saturated fat is there per 1,000 calories, and how that lines up with the dietary guidelines. So as a result of applying that algorithm, we get scores for each component and then a total score, again, with 100 being an optimal score. Just a few notes on the specific analysis, because usually people think of applying something like the HEI or Healthy Eating Index to an individual diet. So as I mentioned, we counted each item once. We're interested here in offerings, not sales, so it reflects all of the items that McDonald's, for example, offers. We included all items, including condiments, and we used the databases that are used in dietary surveillance in the United States, for example, in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. These are the Food and Nutrient Database for Dietary Surveys and the MPED, the My Pyramids Equivalent Database. To give the chains the benefit of the doubt, we did use their calorie, saturated fat, and sodium values. For example, if a certain restaurant over the last few years had reduced the sodium values of some of their offerings, we might not have been able to capture that using a centralized database that might not have been up to date with those changes, and so we did want to give them the benefit of the doubt. For food group information, we did use these databases, but again, we gave the chains a little bit of the benefit of the doubt by calibrating them against their energy values, and I won't get into the details here, but if anyone has specific questions about that, I can address that later. So a radar plot is one way of showing scores on the Healthy Eating Index, and this shows an optimal score of 100 points. So basically, we want the line to be out to the edge for all of the components, even the moderation components, the saturated fat, the SOFAs or empty calories, and the sodium, because those are reverse scores. So in all cases, we want a higher score. I should mention that the HEI does include alcohol, but none of these establishments included or offered alcohol. So to get to something more interesting, the findings. So this is showing for McDonald's that McDonald's received a score of 46.1 points out of 100. Just to give you a benchmark for the scores I'll be showing you, the overall U.S. food supply in 2005 received a score of 55, and the U.S. population, according to 2003-2004 NHANES data, received about a 58. Those are also pretty dismal scores, but you'll be seeing even lower scores here. So a few things to point out. McDonald's does pretty well on milk, or they do very well on milk, and that's probably because of milkshakes and McCafe. So maybe not where we want people to necessarily be getting their milk. There's a lot of added sugars there, too. So you can see their SOFAs, or solid fats and added sugar scores, pretty dismal. They also do well on total grains, meat and beans, and oils, but not well at all on the vegetable or fruit or whole grains groups. Similarly, this is for Burger King, about 44 points. Again, doing well on total grains, meat and beans, and oils. Those are things where the population also does well. In fact, we see some excess consumption of these groups among the population, and so it's kind of reflecting eating patterns of the U.S. population, not surprisingly, and not doing well on, again, the fruits, vegetables, whole grains, things where we want the population to be consuming more of. Subway does a little bit better. They do better on vegetables, and this is partly due to the assumptions we made about Subway. Subway and their menu sort of presented themselves in the most favorable light possible, with no sauce, no cheese on sandwiches, everything on whole grain, and vegetables on everything. So we sort of played with that a little bit to make it a little bit more realistic. We allowed them to have vegetables on half, and so you do see that reflected here, again, doing well on things like total grain. And Wendy's, again, a similar pattern. Taco Bell got the lowest score for the full menus. They actually are doing pretty well on saturated fat, and that could be an artifact of the HEI a little bit because, as I mentioned, it's density-based. So Taco Bell has a lot of sugar-sweetened beverages, and that's increasing the caloric intake or the caloric offerings, which ups the denominator and could kind of be artificially pushing down their saturated fat value, if that made sense. So I'm not saying go to Taco Bell if you want to do well on saturated fat, but it does look like they're doing okay on that. So just to get into some of the special menus, so this is showing dollar value menus. If you just focus on the bottom for a second, you'll see in blue the total menu scores, and then in under that, I'm sorry, blue is the dollar or value menu score, and under that in bold is the full menu. So you can see that for four of the five restaurants, the dollar value menus do better. The exception is McDonald's. And just to highlight a few things here, even though they're doing a little better, they do have dismal scores for dark green and orange vegetables and legumes, whole grains, sodium, and there's some variation for solid fats and added sugars. Subway does well here, and that's really because their dollar value menu doesn't include any beverages. It's sandwiches only, and I told you about how they kind of present themselves in the most favorable light possible. The kids menu, again, we see that in most cases, the kids menu is better than the overall menu. You can see along the bottom there in the blue, the scores for the kids menus ranging from 33 to 72. So that 33 for Taco Bell kids menu is the worst score for any menu that we assessed, and included all kinds of sugar-sweetened beverages, cinnamon twists or something along that line. The Subway menu was the best. But one thing to keep in mind here is we're only looking at what they include on the kids' menu. Obviously, when kids go into a Subway, they're exposed to a lot of other things, not just what's listed on the kids' menu. Again, they're not doing well on the certain aspects that I've highlighted repeatedly. And this is showing now items that are emphasized as healthy by Subway against the full menu. So this is back to that graph I showed you at the beginning, which shows all the components along the bottom. Here, the filled in diamonds are the full menu, and the empty diamonds are the healthy menu. So when the empty diamond is above the full menu, that means that the healthy menu is doing better. On average, for the restaurants that had healthy menus, scores were 17 points higher. You can see they're doing better for sofas on the far right there. But if you look farther to the left, they're still not doing well for fruits and vegetables for the most part. Similar for Wendy's, the healthy menu did do better. It's doing well, again, for things like meat and beans and oils, but not so well for saturated fat and sodium, although it is getting perfect scores for empty calories or sofas. And Taco Bell, a similar pattern. So just to summarize all these numbers, generally the restaurants don't offer enough total and whole fruits in relation to the total calories that they offer. Really, they have no whole grains or very little whole grains and pretty much no dark green and orange vegetables or legumes except for Taco Bell with their Mexican-inspired foods. They have too much sodium and too much calories from solid fats and added sugars. They seem to have enough total grains, meat and beans, and oils, but you could argue that, in fact, they have too much of those things. The Healthy Eating Index doesn't actually penalize for too much, and we do know that there's some overconsumption of these things in the population. So how can the fast food menus be improved? You can do things like add fruits, vegetables, and legumes, replace refined grains with whole grains. These types of changes could make small increases to the score, maybe by 3 or 5 points. You could argue maybe that this could be important at a population level because the volume of sales. When you think about how many hamburgers McDonald's sells, if every single one of those was on a whole grain bun, maybe that does have a population level effect. But really, for these restaurants to really improve their offerings and get scores that are closer to 100, which means closer to dietary guidance, they need to take menu items off or reformulate them. And those are the ones that are high in sodium, solid fats, and added sugars. They can also pilot initiatives to facilitate healthier choices. So, for example, not offering French fries by default as a side dish in kids' meals or combo meals, not always using whole milk by default in at McCafe, that kind of thing. There was an interesting discussion in the marketing session yesterday about voluntary initiatives on the part of industry, and so there are some initiatives like that in this arena too. The Kids Live Well program that was launched by the National Restaurant Association last year, and there are about 68 restaurants at last count that are trying to help parents and children choose healthier options. McDonald's is also doing various things like promising to include apple slices in their Happy Meals. And apparently they're piloting an English muffin that's whole wheat for their Egg McMuffins. I think we could echo what was said yesterday, that the fast food industry is probably announcing some of these small changes to deflect criticism from their overall offerings, and this is probably just a drop in the bucket compared to the overall plethora of items that are not healthy. So to conclude, the offerings of popular fast food restaurants are not surprisingly, largely divergent from dietary guidance. This highlights the need to identify strategies to make improvements, and as Lynn alluded to earlier, it raises the question of whether traditional fast food can be consistent with health. Also, I haven't gotten into marketing here, but it does raise the issue of curbing marketing of the more unhealthy products, especially to children, youth, and minorities, and conducting ongoing monitoring so that we know what's going on in these offerings. Just want to acknowledge a few people that were central to doing this research, and I don't know if I have time for a question. I think I went a little bit over.
Any clarifications, requests for clarification? If not, then we'll hold the discussion until the end.
Okay, thank you.